Weekend Breakfast
with Refilwe Mpakanyane on 702.
Quarter past nine on the Saturday edition of Weekend Breakfast. And September is Tourism Month in South Africa. Due to COVID-19, the tourism sector finds itself on its knees. But following the president's announcement that international borders will reopen partially this past week, we thought to get some reactions from the sector on the decision to move to level one and essentially what it's going to take to revive the sector and in order to help ignite our economy. To speak more on this, I'm joined by Lee Zamekile-Zama, the CEO of FedHASA, that's the Federated Hospitality Association of Southern Africa. We're also joined by the CEO of the Tourism Business Council of South Africa, Chifiwa Chibengwa. We'll be, of course, unpacking things like the safety measures they've put in place to protect you from COVID-19, and I guess what it's going to take to revive the sector, which contributes so much to our fiscus. Lee and Chifiwa, thank you so much for your time this morning. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Hello, Lee. All right, it seems we have lost those lines there. We're going to try and get them back. But you'd have heard the words this week that went a little something like this. We are ready to open our doors again to the world and invite travelers to enjoy our mountains, our beaches, our vibrant cities and our wildlife game parks in safety and confidence. Those are the words from President Cyril Ramaphosa in his televised speech on Wednesday. In many ways, I wonder if this announcement came just in time or if, the industry has just suffered irreparable damage. But Chifiwa Chivenga, the CEO of Tourism Business Council, right up until the 13th of September, right, last Sunday, was saying that if government doesn't announce it, in fact, before the end of the week, when South Africa's borders will open again for international tourism, our industry, our local tourism industry, is set to lose out on the lucrative summer season, which, of course, began in September. So let's see if we can welcome Chifiwa Chivengwa back on the line. Chifiwa, thanks so much for your time. Are you there?
Good morning and thank you for having me. Good morning to the listeners.
An absolute pleasure. Let's just do a line check as well with Lee. Good morning, Lee. I hope we've got you there. Hello, Lee. All right. My goodness. I guess tech is just not feeling us this morning. Let's carry on our conversation with you, Chifiwa. You were basically saying, calling for government to make a decision ASAP. That was September 13, last Sunday. You were quoted as saying, if something's not done by the end of this week, we're going to lose out on the summer season. How do you feel about this development?
Look, I think that the announcement by the president is a welcomed event. We do believe that it goes a long way in, bringing back hope in the industry that has been battered, mm-hmm. that has lost many employees, that has many businesses that have closed. I think now we can breathe a sigh of relief to say that, we can now go back to do what we do best fully. Sure. We do appreciate that we're able to do domestic tourism, mm-hmm. And business travel and a little bit of conferencing, although it was at a minimum capacity. So now it gives us a hope, but there's still a long way to go. Because we still need to understand the list of countries that needs that will be coming out, that we're supposed to do business with in mm-hmm. terms of tourism. And we believe that, that list should be progressive enough and support tourism. Otherwise, the announcement would just be an announcement and yeah. it will not support the economic recovery of tourism.
So I guess you are in a perfect position to separate out for us the sort of disparity or the gap between what international tourism and travel brings into the country versus domestic travel. And to that point, October seems a long way away when you have been locked down for about 5 months, right? 5 or 6 months. What are your projections in terms of the boost or the impact that the opening to international visitors will bring?
Yeah. Look, on a normal year, let's say 2018 or 2019, we'll receive around 273 billion rand worth of tourism spend. Mm-hmm. Around 44% of that is international spend, which equates to around 120 billion. Sure. The other 153 billion, which is 56%, is for domestic travel. So now, let's break this down a little bit. Now, when we talk about domestic travel, we're talking about three components. We've got government travel, which is very, very critical in terms of supporting domestic travel. You're looking at a region of 20 plus billion rand that governments travel. Now, then you have travel, which these are businesses that go up and down, conduct their businesses. That's another sum of money that they spend. And then you have domestic leisure travel. And the domestic leisure travel is the one that, you know, fully operational now, because businesses, you know, have found a new way of conducting meetings. They are on, you know, technology. Government has not been traveling because of the lockdown. Mm-hmm. So that two component is lost. Now we're dealing with domestic leisure travel, mm-hmm. of which majority of it is visiting friends and relatives. This is when, you know, I get in my car and go to Limpopo to visit my parents. Yes, I do spend some money on some parts of value chain,
sure.
but not on the entire value chain. So we need to be cognizant that, you know, domestic leisure travel, as much as it's great, as much as we want people to get out, a lot of it is day trips. Very few of people do overnight trips. And therefore, it means that, you know, the spend within the tourism value chain is limited okay. and may not be sustainable into the future. So that's why international travel is important, because we need to substitute whatever we've lost with international travel. And we believe that people are willing to travel, especially in the European, you know, countries. Mm-hmm. People want to escape the European winter or North American winter and come to South Africa.
Right.
And spend their time here. And we need to be able to harness that opportunity and get people into the country and that income.
Let's turn to Lee Zama, the CEO of FedHasa. I believe we've got Lee back on the line. Lee, welcome to the show. And I guess the question really is South Africa travel ready? More to Chifua's point, yes, we are willing. Are we ready?
Good morning, Rafael. Thank you for having us.
Sure.
South Africa's tourism businesses are absolutely ready to receive guests.
Mm-hmm.
We have safety protocols that we put in place to ensure that we do mitigate the risk of COVID.
Sure.
And we're pretty confident about the total uptake when we communicated this message to the various businesses within the sector that are applying these as well as they can. And in some of the travels that we've made in the recent days to see happening, and we've actually been impressed by what the sector is generally doing.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, and I just want to stress as well, that as a sector, right across in many of what we do, is that we generally operate under very strict hygiene conditions anyway.
Sure.
So the additional measures that we're adding for COVID is not a stretch, and that's why it's been pretty okay for the businesses to implement.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Lee, the industry large contributes about 8.6% of GDP and over a million jobs. The effect that this lockdown has had on the industry, are you in a position to confidently say you'll be able to claw back that ground that's been lost?
Priscilla, it's going to be a very slow process, unfortunately.
Mm.
The COVID impact has been the greatest by far in all what we've seen in the recent years. I mean, we had 9/11 and we had Ebola most recently. But in at least 6 months or so from the perspective of the tourism industry, because we're the first to be hit by the slowdown of travelers coming into country because of COVID. So mm-hmm. we've had this much longer than any other sector. So we're not expecting to see growth shoots that are going to be really that large. We're expecting quite a slow growth, which will take us probably to recover over the next 2 years. But
yeah.
the resilience of tourism, that's what we're relying on, because this sector does bounce back. It's time to full capacity, so we will be able to do so in a year or two.
All right. We've got some listener questions that I want to field here. Dennis and Benoni's got a question on safety measures. Dennis, welcome to the show. You go ahead and ask a question.
Yes, good morning. The minister said that if a person from overseas,
mm-hmm.
and he must have a COVID test certificate.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't have a COVID certificate, why can't he do it at the place where he arrives? It normally takes about 72 hours or so to get the results.
All right. Chifua, I guess, would you like to take that question?
Yes, please. I missed some part of the question. Just repeat it for me.
So Dennis was asking if for international travelers, they need a COVID test that they've gotten the results of before they arrived. But he's asking why can they not just get the test on arrival?
Well, look, you know that can be done as well to get a test on arrival, but that will come with, you know, the quarantine in terms of someone, you know, being at a specific place until they get their test back. And I think if someone arrives at the airport and they show symptoms, even though, you know, the 72 hours they got the test,
sure.
You know, and it was negative and they arrived with symptoms, you know, they still need to be tested and we still need to go through, you know, the same process. I think what's most important is to fine-tune the operational part of what this means. When we say someone must get 72 hours, must get a negative test 72 hours before they travel.
Sure.
If we finalize the operational part of it to say, what happens when you get to the airport? What if you've got symptoms?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to deal with that? And so forth and so on. And also to look at it and say, you know, who has authority in this testing regime? Because,
true.
You know, what language do we want it on? Because if someone arrives from Malaysia and then, you know, it's written on a different language, are we going to be able to interpret and know that this is a negative test?
Sure.
So we need to finalize the operational part of it in the next coming few days so that, you know, we can all be on the same page. So that our communication to the markets that are going to be coming into the country is clear, it's unambiguous, and we're able to give people exactly what they need to do before they travel to the
country. Absolutely.
I think that the most important thing is that, you know, COVID is not going away. It's our responsibility as a sector. And as we have said, you know, we've put together protocols to make sure that we mitigate, you know, the spread of the virus. So it's our responsibility as a sector and the responsibilities of the travelers and South Africans at large, you know, to make sure that we protect ourselves so that we don't go back to the situation that we're in.
Here's a question. We've got a question from Phil in Kloof in Pretoria. And I guess I'll let you answer this question, Lee. Phil, welcome to the show. Go ahead and ask your question.
Good morning, Refilo and your learned guest. You know, tourism in leading global economies is a money-spinning, low-hanging fruit in the economic growth,
sure.
of those particular.
Sure.
If you look, for instance, the China, in as reported in 2012 in the United Nations World Tourism Organization report, that China ranked third in arrivals and fourth in receipts.
Sure.
If you look at their model, they emphasize one thing that, you know, tourism always begins at home. That's point number one. Two, that there should be specialization. Specialization is essential in developing competitive advantage in a global tourism market. People tour the country.
So Phil, are you asking, sorry, in the interest of time, are you asking how we can actually do better in terms of domestic tourism?
How we should do better in domestic tourism.
Fantastic. Lee, I'll hand that question to you if you could on that.
The question, Rupila, is related how we can do better increasing domestic tourism.
In increasing and promoting domestic tourism.
Okay. They already now, Chikwe did explain that we have a 44% and 50% split between domestic tourism and international travel.
Sure.
And international guests that come into the country. South Africa offers a really great range of really wonderful products.
Mm-hmm.
And South Africans have been traveling. South African tourism and many product owners of the country have been selling really good price packages for people to enjoy the country. Remember, when these products are built, not only will the property owners just be reliant on international tourism for their businesses to survive, because they understand the dynamics that you need to be able to have your local business somehow protected for you to be able to, should there be any other market shock that affects in international markets because of the linkages that happen with anything happens in one part of the world and the rest of us get affected.
Sure.
They are the domestic tourism products, they under the need to actually sell and have products that are sufficient for South Africans to visit to increase the domestic participation.
Got
so
it.
The hotels and other products that have been built have been built with a pure understanding of that. And secondly, would be as a tourism industry, our international marketing strategy has been to increase the number of tourists that come into the country, because domestic travel alone, no matter how much we can increase, it will never be sufficient to be able to carry us. We're literally a country of 56 million people or so. And if you were to extrapolate of travelers, that travel within South Africa. So we do need international tourists. We have an international strategy that is specific about the countries that we wanted to source markets from to come into the country, because we get a package to government, which our government adopted, that we want to double the number of tourists that come into the country by 2020. Mm-hmm. We're on track to do so and have plans to get that going until COVID came.
This pandemic really has scuppered so many plans and so many ambitions. Chifiwa, I want to leave the final word to you and go back to that interview that Sunday Times interview you did last Sunday, where you said that a change of attitude by government could see tourism to GDP rising to 12% of the fiscus in the next 5 years. How do you plan on doing that, or how do you envision this happening?
Look, I think one of the critical things that ought to happen, within, the supporting of the tourism industry is that, when we talk about the recovery of the sector post-COVID or with COVID, mm-hmm. We need to talk about the funding of the recovery.
Sure.
As you have seen, when the Minister of Finance, gave his budget speech, he cut the budget for the Department of Tourism by a billion rand. Most of it will go to South African tourism. So, we need to fund this recovery if we want to see it to happen faster. So if we're saying that in the next 2 years we believe we can recover, there has to be funding, related to that. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, we need to look at the policies that we put in terms of, other areas that impact tourism indirectly. Be it immigration policy, be it transport policy, and many other things that have direct impact on tourism. We need those policies to make sure that they are conducive enough for us to be able to operate. Like one of the callers have said, tourism is a low-hanging fruit. It's unlike manufacturing, where you have to put up buildings and have processes and equipment and machinery.
Sure.
We don't need to do much more. We have products already on the ground. We have the accommodation already on the ground. We are operating on a very low capacity at the moment. So all we need to do is make sure that we fund the recovery. Once we fund the recovery, we have the capacity, to absorb, tourists that wants to come to the country. And we should be able to do so in the next while. And then we need to look into the future and say, what do we want to do in 2030? We believe that we can create 1 million additional jobs. We believe that we can get a whole lot more of young people working. And we believe we can increase our impact into the GDP, like many other countries have done.
Mm.
To do so, we need to have forward vision in terms of, 2030, what do we want to do, 10-year planning, so that we can all hunt as a pack, between the private sector and the public sector, with similar approach to ensure that, we grow tourism, we entrench transformations, and we make sure that we impact the economy of the country in a positive way.
And we'll have to leave it right there. But thank you so much, Chifiwa Chivenga, the CEO of the Tourism Business Council of South Africa. And thank you so much, Liza, the CEO of the Federated Hospitality Association of Southern Africa, talking to us about thoughts, ideas, and a plan for the future of tourism in South Africa.